Text 51552.
Dave Fanning on 2FM.
For many children, becoming an astronaut and travelling into space is a dream. But for Niamh Shaw, it was one that she returned to as an adult and is now working hard to make a reality. Would I be right in saying that now?
Yes, that's bang on.
That's bang on. Okay, bang on. Niamh. Niamh is here with us, a performer, a scientist, an engineer. In fact, you've just been talking about Ross Noble, yeah. Performer, etc. But you have many strings to your bow. Next month, you're about to add one more because you're going off to NASA. That'll be NASA.
Yes.
For a space studies course.
Yes.
What does that actually mean, studying space in a course for
it's
NASA?
It's a course that's run out of a university called the International Space University, which began in the 80s. Actually, the first chancellor was Arthur C. Clarke. So all these big dreamers and former astronauts wanted to train people. They could predict that the future was coming where there was going to be skills required for people, people who are engineers or scientists and kind of applying it to the space industry. So that's what happened in the 1980s. And every year since then, they run a 9-week intensive programme. At different countries all over the world. This year it happens to be in Ohio in partnership with the NASA Glenn Research Center, which is one of the research centers of NASA. And Seemini, hold on to your hat because it's like, I think it's like 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. most days, just nonstop. And it's a lot of lectures, people flying in from all over the world who are specialists in different areas of space science.
So hold on, so you're going to have specialists and engineers and physicists and cosmologists and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And you have a background in stand-up comedy.
I know, improvisation. Yes, I have. I know. Well, I'm a strange mix, Dave, you know. So this is part of my kind of 10-year goal to see if I can get to space. That's my goal.
10-year, as in it started 10 years ago?
It's about four years in now.
All right, about four years in.
Yeah.
As in, if you don't get to space in another 6 years, you'll throw your head at it.
No, I probably won't. But it's amazing how close I've already, you know, how far on compared to where I was at 4 years ago.
Hold on a second. I say a lot of people 4 years ago had a dream they wanted to go into space, but they can't suddenly go to the International Space University in partnership with NASA and Glenn Research and get a 9-week bleeding course out of it.
No, I know, but that's what hard work and commitment and dedication and meeting the right people. I kind of really went for it last year. I got funding from Science Foundation Ireland and I partnered with Blackrock Castle Observatory, which is like a science centre.
So you really went for this?
Oh, I really went for it.
This was like, I mean, if you're going to have a dream, you want to make the dream a reality.
Yes.
24-hour day to make it happen.
Yes.
All
and
right.
And so met they introduced me to many, many people. I got to go over to the Research and Technology Centre of the European Space Agency, ESA. And met lots of Irish physicists and scientists and engineers working for them and told them of my dream to go to space. I was making a theatre show about it and they all just fell in love with my dream and they're all supporting me. So,
and was it a different approach, do you think, than so many others that I've mentioned of all these engineers and physicists and cosmologists that are saying, hey, she's wacky, let's go for that one?
I think it's not wacky. I think they understand that there's an appetite now for science in the general public that wasn't there before, probably because of the internet and people just that appeal to science. And it's
less closed doors.
Yeah, and I think people are communicating it much better. And I think they love to meet people who are passionate about what they do, but have a good understanding because I have a background in engineering and science that I can communicate it with a little bit more content than, say, just, you know, somebody who doesn't have that background.
And so, if I was to ask you, how did you get into this course? You applied.
I was like, the first time I heard of it was in 2012. I went to a tweet up there 3 years ago and I heard about this course and I was going, wow. But you need to be, you need to get two referees. So I got a reference from the head of the communications department in this research and technology centre in ESA. He saw a DVD of the show that I made with a bunch of artists here in Dublin, To Space. And he wrote this amazing reference. He said, this girl will give you a run for her money and you'd be mad not to have her on the programme. So the second stumbling block is that the fees are 18 grand, Dave. So I was like, well, I'm not going to be able to afford that being a freelancer. And so I got a scholarship from the European Space Agency for 2/3 of that. So I've been trying to come up with lots of different fundraising
hard
ways.
Hard work and determination.
Oh, yeah. Graft.
Okay, I presume, obviously, like it is. I mean, I know I'm trying to slightly make it, I'm not undermine it or even make a joke out of it. I'm just trying to take it as from a different angle necessarily than be totally, absolutely, like from a university with 400 degrees. It's very selective, obviously. So how many people will get a place on this course? I know I've mentioned the types, but how many are there?
From all over the world, I think there's about 90 every year.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, right, okay. Yeah. And how long? It is just an intensive 9 or 10 week course.
Intensive 9 week course, yeah.
And it's a post grad course.
It's a post grad course. They want people with a
PhD or something like
that. No, no, no. They want people with a background in engineering or science, because there's a certain minimum kind of requirement of, you know, just a certain, so that people wouldn't be anxious about maths or whatever it is that they require, that you have some sort of basic
understanding. Do you need, do you think, to have formal science qualifications?
No, I think they also take people, you know, the other aspect of it is like, there's, you see, it's not just about science anymore. It's about space policy, space law, space entrepreneurship. So people with degrees in business and law and all that have an advantage over me, say, in those disciplines. Right. So we do lectures in seven different departments that we'll be lectured by. As I said, one of them is space policy and law. And that's about, like, who owns the space above us? How do you set up a space agency in your particular country? So if I was to come back and decide, right, I'm going to head up the Irish Space Agency, I'd be armed with the right contacts and the right approaches and the right models to do that. Similarly, if I was going to set up my own business to, I don't know, supply a payload or something to the International Space Station, the business section would do that. There's a humanity section to help people understand how to communicate a bit more. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't specialise in that department, because that's kind of what I do. And then there's space engineering, about designing rockets. There's space sciences, the other, like astronomy, astrophysics. And then there's a special department which is about the effect of human exploration and the effect of weightlessness and long-term exposure to cosmic radiation on our bodies. So
you won't be in one of those machines any afternoon with the G-force with your cheeks going
in
and
out. I'd love to do that too. Mach 4 kind of cock out thing. That'd be amazing. Amazing.
Okay, like, I mean, you say the dream started 4 years ago. When did the interest start?
The interest started way, way, way back. So we would have been mad science fiction people in the house. We would have watched Carl Sagan's Cosmos.
House where?
Dundalk. And our John, when he made his confirmation, we were living in Carlo at the time, took myself and my younger brother Tom to see Star Wars, and it kind of just kicked off from then. Suddenly made sense, because John was big into it, and so he had posters on the wall of Earth, of the solar systems and different constellations and the Milky Way. And I think when I saw Star Wars, I kind of put it together, and that was it. I was hooked.
Well, then what about the course and what it actually involves? You mentioned vaguely there some headlines, but is it academic mostly, or will you be getting physical training?
It depends on the department that you're in. I think the human exploration one, which is one I'm particularly interested in, you learn a fair few skills about the basic medical procedures that you'd need to know if you were going up in space. So I think there's a little bit of practice there. There's no microgravity training. There's no astronaut training per se, but there's different specialisations. If you were to take space sciences, you would do a lot of astronomy. So you'd learn, they have access to remote telescopes, different European Space Agency remote telescopes. So you do a lot of that. They're the kind of skills. It is academic, but then there's also the other amazing thing is every evening, or a lot of evenings, we have incredible kind of panel discussions and guest speakers. We have a panel of astronauts coming in. We have Charles Bolden, who's the head of NASA, coming in to speak to us. We have the sons of Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin talking about what it's like for them as children, being the children of the first men on the moon, and the implications of that long term. Looking at the space race of the 1960s, why was that so successful? What can we learn from it? People who are entrepreneurs of space. So it is slightly academic, but it's also quite practical and hands-on as well. So there's also then, you do lectures for the first 4 weeks, then you have an exam, and then you specialise, and then you have to do this team project. There's only three projects. One is on fracking, one is about protecting our planet from asteroids, like what kind of systems could we have in place, and the third one is how do we communicate predicting where this is all going for 40 years'
time.
Well,
then within this dream, this is a great step in it, what is your ultimate goal? Is it to go into space? Is it to become maybe an astronaut, and how realistic could that possibly be?
I want to be kind of a citizen, Joe Public. Experience what it's like to leave this planet, the effect that has on your body, just even, you know, being in a you know, like the Ariane 5 launcher, and being aboard the International Space Station for about 2 weeks, and document the whole thing. So I want to kind of almost communicate to the general public what that feels like, because I think the way things are going in the next 20 to 30 years' time, this is, the next frontier of transportation, and we need to kind of get our heads around it. So the sooner, whatever I can contribute to that, I would be delighted, plus fulfil my dream.
And what about contributing to what you have to now definitely do with this 9 week course? I mean, preparing for the course, I would imagine, with the 18 grand stuff and the fact that Irish funding, which used to be available, is no longer available, I would say you haven't opened a book, I say you haven't done anything physical, it's just get the shagging money.
A lot of that. It's been difficult. Yeah, it's been difficult. difficult because I'm a freelancer and I do, you know, have work coming in, but you only get paid in dribs and drabs. So people have been very good. I've been looking for support from a lot of different areas. There's been fundraisers and I'm nearly there. I'm nearly there. I'm on the home stretch.
So if anybody is listening.
that's not where
I'm here. A few grand. So away. Okay, so listen, just that's that whole thing. So you are a performer, as I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
So this business of like the scientist that you have been,
which you
were up to what year were you?
Oh, 2003, full-time academic research scientist. And then at that stage, then I decided to, I was exhausted, Dave, if I'm really honest. I had gone as far as I kind of wanted to in full-time research. And it really, I kind of fallen out of love with science, really, if I'm honest. It really wasn't the environment that I wanted to be in. And throughout all of my career with that, I was always very interested in performing and the creative arts. So I kind of just decided to take a little break. And I did that for about 4 or 5 years. And then I started missing science and realised I actually think I am these two things at exactly the same time. So then I kind of tried to create a role for myself and I met people like Ethna who allowed me communicate science and popular science topics. And then I went a step further and started bringing it into theatre and creating events
for people.
The Fringe and TED Talks and all that.
Right.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay, so when does all this start?
Well, I'm off on the 5th of June and I have to leave a day early. I have to leave on the 7th of August because the show that was in the Fringe last year about my year to get to space called To Space goes straight to Edinburgh in the Summer Hall space for the whole month of August as part of Edinburgh Fringe.
So it's all Edinburgh Fringe.
So I'm rehearsing that at the moment.
Niamh Shaw, scientist, performer and soon to be space expert. The website, by the way, is niamhshaw.science. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. Well, listen, Niamh, the very best of luck.
Thanks, Dave.
You'll certainly be in a better place than I would be, I suppose, at that time of the year. Good luck to you. Well done.